You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, we're here with another episode, another New Churches podcast. I guess we call them episodes. They're episodic, so we'll do that as well. We have returning guests, and we've been talking about family issues as well. And today we're going to talk about the healthy habits of church planting couples. And again, a couple of caveats. We know that not everyone's a couple. We're for everyone. We got all kinds of men and women serving on teams together. We recognize that as well. But we also recognize that statistically, the vast majority are going to be church planting couples. So let's take a little deep dive into that. Christine Hoover serves as the Women's Ministry Associate at the Austin Stone Community Church's Northwest Congregation, Austin, Texas. Also hosts the Ministry Wives podcast, which you might find super helpful. I've recommended it to lots of people. She's authored 6 books, including Messy, Beautiful Friendship and How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. And also Kyle's joining us. Kyle has been in the ministry since 1998. They are, of course, a married couple. But Kyle served on large and small church staffs and college campus-based ministries. He's a founding and lead pastor of the Charlottesville Community Church, hence the church planting connection. That's in Charlottesville, Virginia. And now serves as executive pastor at the Austin Stone in Texas. Okay, so obviously this is a cause of concern for some people, of maintaining sort of those healthy rhythms of marriage and life. I would tell you, for some people, they might even not even have downloaded the podcast because they're like, well, you know, I know those things. But I got to tell you, I have helped clean up the wreckage of a lot of marriages that ministry had a negative impact on as well. I know you have as well. Kyle, let's start with you because we're mainly talking to church planters here. Mm-hmm. Church planting is stressful, you know, as you've been a pastor of a church plant. But when you are, most of the stuff falls on your plate, particularly at the beginning. What habits help you keep your relationship with your wife in a healthy place, both maybe what you guys did when you were planting and also advice you give to planters that come out of the Austin Stone?
So I think that there was a few things that we did well and a few things we didn't. I think one thing that we tried to do or later on in the church planting adventure is we tried to Sabbath well. And I think that that was something that we really tried to make intentional time together as a family. You know, at the beginning it was with young kids, but then later on it would just be Christine and I. And so that was an intentional time where there was no ministry work whatsoever, but that was a time for us to just be together as a couple. And that was a huge gift to us because you could fill every minute of every day with new ideas and what you could do with church planting. And so we intentionally made decisions to not do certain things so that we could be together. I think another thing I would recommend is the idea of having your family agenda beat church events to your calendar. And so schedule what you're going to do as a family before your ministry calendar beats your family things. I think a lot of church planters, they fit in their family time however they can and whenever they can. And that just, it gets crowded out and it just communicates to the family that, man, you're secondary. And then I think we always tried to be very intentional with date nights, time together. We would try to, you know, we had little money. The church was at its beginning stages. And so we would just try to find free babysitting. And if we just could find some free babysitting to go just breathe for a little bit. Uh-huh. That was a huge win for us.
Yeah, we planted with a friend who was single. He was one of our founding pastor elders, and he was our free babysitter. He would come and hang out with our kids. So
that's super fun. Yeah, yes. And I would tell you, when you have little kids and not a lot of money, just having someone watch your kids, you maybe sit in the other room. That's like a date night sometimes.
Yes, exactly.
Well, hopefully not just that, but I'm just saying that that becomes a key part of that is, you know, having some time away from the kids. Christine, tell us a little more.
Well, I would say he brought these things. These are things that we learned the hard way because we didn't start this way.
That's right.
And so these became vital to us because we didn't choose to do those things at the beginning. But I think just having anything, a habit where for the wives, I would say, Kyle coming home from work in the beginning of church planting, all we did was talk about the church plant. Again, we learn the hard way. I started learning that I needed to be more of a decompressing place than a place where all of those things got talked about more. And so sometimes he did need to talk about things, but sometimes I would notice just his body language of, I think he just needs to be able to decompress right now. And so having other things that we could talk about that weren't the church was so important. And that for us, we both love to read. So just talking about what we're reading was a big thing. Or we would just go on walks and talk about the kids. And sometimes you don't want to talk about the kids as well. But just having interests outside of the church was so important for our communication and our relationship so we could have something else to talk about.
Yeah, it does make all the difference to have those kinds of activities and interests outside the church because that otherwise it becomes overwhelming and can be problematic. So let's talk some about supporting one another. And we talked a little bit of this in a prior episode about supporting your wife, her call, her direction. And Kyle, you unpacked that a little bit, and both of you unpacked that in that prior episode. But let's talk some about how the church planter, and we recognize all different kind of team members, different kind of configurations of husbands and wives. We get that, or single people. But in this kind of context, in what ways, Kyle, would you suggest the church planters support their wives? And then Christine, just go right into what ways that church planning wives might support their church planner husbands.
I think it would be helpful for the husband to intentionally study his wife and not give her the tasks that have to be done that maybe no one else wants to do. Yeah. But to
yeah,
be
you
very
used that word study a couple times in the last episode as well. That sounds, it's kind of an intriguing, word. So tell me what you mean by that.
I think oftentimes maybe the husband isn't an observant student of, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, isn't an observant student of their wife, of what they're passionate about, what their giftings are, their kingdom oriented fit. And so and also realizing that changes in time and circumstances and seasons of life. So I think there's this ongoing process of regularly studying your wife, asking good questions, finding out passions and fit, and then giving them the opportunity to say no and to opt out of things in the same way that you would with a layperson on your staff team. Because oftentimes they can feel trapped, and that's a dreadful feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would study. When he studies me, I think he's saying what he sees, what's life giving to me and what's mm-hmm. not. And sometimes even calling that out and saying to me, I see you come alive when you do this or when you talk about this. Sometimes I don't even know that, but he reflects that back to me. I think that's goes along with the study. For the wife, for the husband, in relation to the husband, things that she can do, I think just anything where you, and again, this is going to be individual to your husband, but anything to where you see that you can take burdens from him. And if that means, and I don't necessarily mean doing activity to help the church. I mean, giving him space to kind of set aside church, having conversation about things that are not related to the church. Or if it is related to the church, I failed a lot and I would bring him more issues, more problems, more things to talk about that need to be solved. And instead, I wish that I had done more of this, and it is something we started to do more, is to celebrate the wins and to talk about where we see God moving, how I see God using him. Being grateful, having eyes of gratitude, having eyes to call out in him the things that I see that God's doing and using. But at the same time, I think wives have an opportunity to call their husbands away to rest and helping give permission for that, I think, is something that I have found to be what I can specifically and uniquely bring to the marriage.
Makes sense. What are some ways you start to realize that things are sort of off track? You know, it's for, in my marriage, it's often Donna would articulate that. So she's often the person who notices and sees that. And I have learned to trust her wisdom in that. But what are some ways that are falling into bad habits or tendencies? And we find that maybe before we've fallen into them, what are some general signs?
Well, for me, the sign, and I see this often, wives, is anger, resentment, bitterness. We're having the same conversations over and over and over. But also I would say if we're just talking about factual things, if we're just like, here's the kids have to be picked up at this time, and this is what we have to do today. And we have learned in the past few years, even 23 years married, just getting to the point where we're like, if we're not speaking on an emotional level, then something is wrong. And so we need to go there first. And so one thing, this sounds very juvenile, but one thing we've tried to do is to incorporate more emotional language rather than here's what I did today. So that comes when you say, hey, here's the two things I felt today. I felt anger. I felt disappointment. And then you can get to why. Oh, I had a meeting and this happened, and that's why I feel disappointed or anger. But I can connect with him over that. I can, first of all, have compassion for him. I don't go immediately into problem-solving mode. We can connect over that, and then I can share my emotional words for the day, and through that comes out what I did. But we're connecting at an emotional and relational level. That's been super helpful for us.
I think that some indicators. I'm like you, Ed. My wife can identify when things are going sideways faster than I can. And so I think if that's the case for other pastors, I think listening closely to the person who can better perceive more quickly when things are going sideways. But I think there's always indicators of, I think your phone is a good indicator of like, can you set aside your phone and be okay? Or do you start getting,
yeah, now you're just meddling.
I think questions of physical intimacy are also indicators of that as well. Of like, have things gotten off track? Time together. There's several different things.
Yeah, no, those are helpful. And I think they point us to, I mean, healthy marriage patterns in general and ministry. And this is why I think, again, Christine's podcast would be helpful to a lot of people who are kind of walking through as a ministry wife. Again, I've mentioned the Stetzer Church Leaders podcast. We talk often about kind of rhythms and patterns that are sustainable and more. What are, for you guys, and again, it doesn't have to be the same for everybody else, but I think it's always helpful and informative. What are some patterns of non-negotiables or boundaries you set in your marriage while planning a church?
Well, we would have done it differently, I think, but we should have put the boundary of having a weekly Sabbath. We started that about year four. I mentioned earlier, my anger kind of came out year four because we had just done everything for the church and we had let our marriage coast. And one of the things that we had not done was set in place a weekly time where it was just rest, no phones, no chores, no running errands, no cooking, all that, just being together and letting ourselves come down from the stress of church planting. So that's something that I encourage every church planter's wife to do. Sometimes she waits for her husband to do that, but I say, nope, you can do that. You can do that yourself. Even if he won't come with you, you do it for you. But also a lot of people, pastors, church planters, their wives, they think, oh, well, I'm the exception to that rule. Like, don't you see what I have to do? Church planting is nonstop. And I understand that feeling and that thought, but that's exactly what runs you into the ground. If you think you're the exception as a human being and how God's created you, that you don't need rest or you don't need friendship or you don't need physical exercise or all those things, like those are the exact things you need in order to endure and to make it in church planting.
We would have a weekly time to kind of communicate what was on the calendar, what was coming our way. And that was really helpful because it got birthed from just bad communication, and even to the point where she would find out in the church's announcements that we, you know, had an event hosted at our home. And that was not
okay. That's peak right there. That's peak.
It was. That changed everything because we got into a
that was the point. Okay.
Yeah. So we have stories to tell, and so we just had a time where we just would look at our calendar and have like, what is coming up for us, and are there healthy rhythms for us, and what do we need to, what hasn't been communicated that needs to be communicated.
And part of that was talking about how many nights a week can we commit to being with other people and or having people in our home, because of knowing our personalities, we can only do, you know, at certain points. It's changed across time, but we knew what we could handle. And so just carving, making sure that we were pacing ourselves, really.
Okay, so opportunity here, just, you know, last word to church planners and husbands and wives who are involved in church planning teams, relationship, what advice would you give? Let's go first to Christine and then to Kyle. Just kind of give us some last thoughts, particularly knowing that a lot of church planning couples may actually be struggling in their marriage as well. What would you exhort them to consider?
Yeah, it's... I came to a point in church planting where I realized that I always thought of ministry as being outside of my marriage. So serving other people, not my husband. And I realized that my marriage is a ministry, and it is a priority ministry. And to give it attention, to give my husband, to cultivate our relationship is a primary ministry that God has given me. And to not think of it as a place instead where I just come and kind of rest until I go out and do more ministry, but giving my marriage the priority that it deserves. And also, it's for my joy. When I cultivate my relationship with my husband, I enjoy him and I enjoy life more. And so there's just something about it that it's more of the foundation than it is the resting place, if that makes sense. When we're good, we can go out and we can serve other people. And so I would just say, if you're feeling like, man, we're not doing well, I would say do whatever you can do to pursue health in your relationship. For us, that's meant counseling, seeking outside counsel, helping us to think through some of the things we've shared today. We have learned through counseling. And so do what it takes. You know, it's worth it financially to invest in that. It's worth it with your time to invest in that. You want to endure in ministry is to cultivate your marriage.
And I think realizing, like, putting the identity of pastor, church planter, putting that identity in the right place of who you are. And so child of God, son, daughter, you know, husband, wife, whatever that might be. And then pastor really is further down than I think what oftentimes some church planters think. And so always realizing that, where we were in Charlottesville, Virginia for 14 years and now we're not. But we, as husband and wife, are still together. And so I think that as Charlottesville kind of came and went, she's remained. And so I think having that idea of like, man, what's going to last and what carries on after your church planting season? And so invest in that. You won't be sorry.
Worth remembering that you are going to leave that church plant. Even if you came to stay, one day you're going to leave. You might leave retiring, you might leave dead, but you're going to leave. And if you, in almost all the circumstances, when you leave, the people who go with you are your family. And so to invest in that long-term relationships just make difference. And it's better for your church plant and your church as you invest in your family. Hey, thanks everyone for listening to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. Thanks to Kyle and Christine for a great conversation today. As always, leave a review wherever you download your podcast and make sure you subscribe, because we've got lots of good conversations coming up on the New Churches Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.